Slightly David, when we come now to Psalm 90, tells us that this is not a psalm of David. He hears the psalm of Moses. It starts even in here. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years of your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You've swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we've been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finish our years for a sign. As for the days of our life, they continue 70 years, or, if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is about labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a part of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorrow for your servants. O satisfy in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all your days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. The congregation. Lake Tahoe, Reno, Las Vegas, New York City, Disneyland, and Hawaii all claim to offer us the time of our life. For a good time, there are shows, plays, TV, sport events, and so on ad nauseum. Everyone is trying to tell us how to spend our time. This is indeed, beloved, an important issue these days for Christians, for we have more and more leisure time. How do we look at time, and what are we doing with the time of our lives? This evening we are looking at this text in only two heads. Number one, our limited time. Secondly, our unlimited responsibility. Now, this text teaches us that we have very limited time. Now, this text teaches us the meaning of Jehovah God's infinite existence. After the Exodus of Egypt, Israel had been condemned by Jehovah God to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The implication was that Moses had seen an average of about 45,000 Israelites per year would die. Furthermore, Moses was deeply impressed with man's transitory existence, and he was overwhelmed with Jehovah God's eternality. Man writes poems about their, quote, everlasting hills, but Moses noted in verse 2, quote, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even for everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses had observed the strata in the rock, and he had realized that the mountains and the earth had observed all 40 years of Israel's wanderings, the whole 400 years of Israel's sojourn in Egypt, the famine in Joseph's day, the journeys of Jacob, call of Abraham, the flood of Noah's day, the growth of the race since Adam's day, even the creation of man and the beast. Yet, before they had all come into existence, Jehovah God was, and he always had been. He can only say, quote, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now that phrase, quote, from everlasting to everlasting, beloved, truly means from eternity to eternity. That means that there has never been a time when Jehovah God came into being. He was never born. He will never die. Nor will he ever go out of existence. Oh, beloved, time is like nothing to Jehovah God, as verse 4 says, quote, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. For Jehovah God, 1,000 years in his sight are like yesterday after it is over. Now, beloved, how long was yesterday? I mean, as you looked forward to tomorrow, it seemed like a very long time to come. But now, yesterday seems like but an instant. That is how God views 1,000 years. Once more, 1,000s of years for Jehovah God is like an uneventful 3-hour watch in the night. When one meditates on Jehovah God and on his eternality, our life begins to take on a new perspective. Furthermore, this text teaches us the meaning of our finite lifetime. You and I, we don't even begin to last as long as the mountains do. Oh, beloved, Jehovah God speaks, just as verse 3 says this way, quote, you turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. You must know that Jehovah God caused the creation to take shape. All that in obedience to his command, and man in obedience to Jehovah God returns to the dust from which he was made and take. How long do you really live? 3 years? How about 50 years? Maybe 60 years? 70 years? Some are even 80 years. Maybe 90 years. Maybe a few people will live 100 years. Moses put it this way in verse 10, quote, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 days, or if due to strength, 8 years. Let their pride is not labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away like a flood, washes away everything in its path. Time washes away everyone to each succeeding generation, just as verse 5 and 6 says, quote, you have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flashes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades, withers away. Very interesting, the commentator Charles Spurgeon put it this way, quote, Here is the history of the grass, sown, grown, blown, mown, gone, and the history of man is not much more. Or, beloved, here is this really the revelation where hero? Where is the Civil War hero? Where are the World War I veterans? It is even getting hard to find any World War II veterans, isn't it? We all die, just as the writer wrote in Hebrews 9:27, quote, and says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, sooner than we like to think about death will come, and Jehovah God will say, return, O child of man, and he will call on each of us." Certainly, beloved, we are finite. Our lifetime is finite. Our time in the overall scheme of things is very, very limited indeed. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second one. Now, this teaches us that we have very unlimited responsibility. Now, this text teaches us that what we do with that time is our responsibility. How do you spend your time? Do you spend your time in important things? Do you spend your time on frivolous things? Do you spend your time on funny things? Or on all of the things above? Now, in this psalm, Moses teaches us to pray just as verse 12 says, quote, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Oh, beloved, that verse means, help us to know our limited time, and help us to know how we use our time wisely. That does not mean that we are to have a biblical timetable for every minute. In fact, but we do indeed have a glorious liberty, and we have a great freedom in Christ, as Paul wrote us in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. You don't have time to read up two chapters, but a good time for you to look about what we've been thinking about. Furthermore, this text teaches us that there are several basic biblical principles. This is one of the greatest biblical principles that teaches us how to present to you a heart of wisdom. Just as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, that says, quote, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Paul has picked out a most insignificant activity of life and said, even down to that eating and drinking, it must be done first and foremost for the glory of God. Paul was not an ascetic. He condemned the touch not, taste not, and handle not attitudes. But he told us that all must be done to the glory of God. If this principle, beloved, were honestly followed, it would take a lot of things out of our lives, wouldn't it? Why do you truly glorify God? The answer is what Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, quote, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We were by nature children of wrath. We were in bondage to sin and to Satan, and we had truly deserved hell. The message of salvation is that Jesus took our place. In our place, he had lived that perfect life. In our place, he had suffered our Calvary's cross for us. In all of that, he has paid for our sins, and he has redeemed us, body and soul. And in all of that, he has brought us back as a dreadful price, the price of Jesus' blood. This is another biblical principle. That is, whatever you do, you must do it in faith. Just as Paul wrote in Romans 14, verses 22 and 23, quote, "The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin." This principle ties in with what has been just said. If you cannot honestly believe that what you are doing is according to the law of God, it is sin for you. To do anything unthinkingly out of mere compulsion or just when your conscience says so, beloved, that is also a sin. This too, beloved, is another biblical principle. That is, when you know that an action is the right thing to do and you just don't do it, James tells us that too is sin. Just as he wrote in James 4, verse 16 and 17, quote, "But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." Oh, beloved, we know exactly what we should do. And we often just do not do it. That still is sin. We want to spend our time on doing things that are more self-pleasing. Then, as verse 12 says again, quote, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." These principles should be guide us in how we spend our time, when we allow, and what we say. The scriptures tell us that we will answer for our responsibility. You are called to answer for your deeds also. Now this is how Jeremiah the prophet spoke about your deeds in Jeremiah 16 verse 10, quote, "Even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." Now this is how Paul spoke about our deeds in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10, quote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be compensated for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." More, this is how Peter spoke about your work in 1 Peter 1, verse 17, quote, "If you address as Father the one who in partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth." Furthermore, you are called to answer for your words, just as Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 36, quote, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment." More, you are called to answer even for your secrets, just as Paul taught us in Romans 2 verse 16, quote, "According to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ." Finally, you are called to answer for your motives, just as Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15, quote, "Wait until the Lord comes, who will both give in light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Therefore, we should use our time wisely." Now, this is what the psalmist teaches once again now to Psalm 118, verse 24, quote, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Therefore, every true believer must have a positive attitude about today and doing the duties of the day. Furthermore, every true believer must not live in the past, nor in the future. You must live this day as a God-given gift and rejoice and be glad for His love, His grace, and His gift. That also means you must be diligent in your work, as Paul wrote in Romans 12, verses 10 through 12, quote, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope." Finally, be hope-hearted, wholehearted in what you do, just as Paul again wrote in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, quote, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." This text tells it that those true believers who do serve the Lord Christ, they should sing for joy and be glad all our days. Finally, beloved, this text teaches us the prayer of Moses. O beloved, the glorious hope of the people of God is understood in the prayer of Moses. You must understand and rejoice in the prayer of Moses, as we were talking in verses 14 through 17. Once again, quote, "O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all your days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty for their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and conform for us the work of our hands." Yes, conform the work of their hands. To understand the loving kindness of Jehovah God is to understand the word of the Lord. John tells us about that wonderful loving kindness of God in John 3 verse 16, again, quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." His work is the perfect work of Jesus in keeping the law of God on behalf of his people. This is the other part of our hope. O beloved, we are not saved because we are good enough to be saved. But because Jesus not only died for us, but he lived for us, and his obedience and his righteousness has been imputed to us. God does not see us rest in our own good works, for our works are not good enough to satisfy Jehovah God, and even our best works are imperfect and defiled with sin. We do not do good works in order to be saved, but Jehovah God's people do good works out of thankfulness that by Jehovah God's grace they have been saved. Our salvation then is totally of grace. That is the hope for every true believer, and that is our hope also. That is, our hope is that we have been dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, who never once sinned in thought, word, or deed. That is a perfect righteousness that is the only righteousness that is acceptable by Jehovah God. Oh, beloved, you are not perfect. No believer is perfect in this life. But because of Christ's works, your sin, not in part, but the whole, are paid for by Jesus. And one day you will stand in the presence of your faithful Savior. You will be made perfect, and every true believer will be perfect. That is the infinite and the glorious hope for you and for us throughout the future. That hope is offered to anyone and everyone who will believe in Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Oh, beloved, I do hope and pray that every person here will share that hope by believing Jesus Christ. Therefore, as true believers, we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Well, that's the second point. Here's a very short conclusion. Beloved, what are you doing with the time of your lives? Are you wasting your time? Are you killing your time? Are you spending your time on frivolous, necessary, fun, or important things? Our time is brief here in the earth. It is extremely limited. We are responsible for now we spend or how we fill that time. All too soon, our 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, will have slipped through our fingers, just so much water through a sieve. Soon, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for how we have used the time allotted to us. Oh, beloved, may we pray with Moses, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, teach every new believer to number our days, that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. Further, Father, teach us as true believers here that we can more and more be full of joy and great gladness all our days, in Jesus' name, amen. It is hymn 90A, 90A.